As you know, Wednesdays mean that it is the masterclass in the second hour of the show. And today for the masterclass, it's a conversation that I've been meaning to have with Gogo Dineo Ndlanzi, because I think she is an inspiration and she really has been a shining light when it comes to this area of traditional healing. So we're putting the spotlight on traditional healers. It's been in the news under controversial guise and stories, of course, if you look at what's been happening in KZN and with the counselor who killed two traditional healers and so on. So there's this negativity that's often associated with what was fundamentally African spirituality, African healing. It's a combination of things, the physical, the psychological, the spiritual and the ancestral worlds all coming together under this belief, this practice that over the years has been has garnered very negative associations. But we will dispel them. We are going to talk quite honestly about the challenges that confront traditional healing in this country, and of course the beauty that it comes with for those that have discovered it. Thokoza Gogo.
Oh, thokoza. What a beautiful opening. I'm inspired already.
It is so beautiful to have you here. Like I said, you were on Power for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also talking about your journey and helping other people who have questions.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what it is. Many people have questions because there's been this disconnect over the years, over generations. Mm.
And I love questions, you know, because questions invite conversations, and questions are a seeking of knowledge, because once we come from a space of I know it all, then we disconnect. And that's why we are kept stuck in stereotypes and misconceptions about what traditional healing is. Because you see as well, in our act of honoring ancestors, because we honor them, we don't pray to them, we honor the ancestors. In the act of honoring, our honoring acts are an inquiry of honoring. It's not a knowing, you know, because once we know for sure, we become stuck in old ways of doing things and don't evolve to become present and say, how does this practice, you know, serve us in this moment in 2017 with all the complexities that we are surrounded with all the misconceptions that we still need to address, because having a conversation with the traditional healer was never heard of, you know. And I mean, we need to you know, commend Power FM for pioneering it, because for about 3 years I was on Power really trying to demystify some of the myths and reawaken Africans to their own identity and being okay being a Sangoma who is a lawyer and without having to confine to what people think. I always like to say we are not the Shaka Zulu Sangoma. That woman who scares the hell out of me even today is not who traditional healers are.
Yes.
Because that's why we had to fight post 1994 for a renaming of who we are, because we were called witch doctors. So therefore we were actually, you know, compared to people who cast spells. You know, I get alarmed when somebody positions themselves as a traditional healer and say, I cast a spell. Because a spell is meant to create discourse, and traditional healers are meant to make well. So those two things are quite, they're quite polar opposites to try put in one name. So as healers, we are here to make well what's not made well.
But as with all things.
Yeah.
Like any coin, there are two sides to it. There's the light and the dark.
Yes.
So there's obviously those gaps or those spaces where things can be not manipulated, but abused and exploited.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, I mean, when I speak about my heritage, it's just, my heritage is diverse. I mean, my maternal grandmother is Indian, and I've been channeling a lot of Indian spirit guides. And we had to go do something because one of the initiators is going home this weekend. And you know, you know, when you are in Sangoma mode, you are a warrior. So we were in the warriorship, and then that the spirit channeled and said, be still, meditate, breathe, and said, darkness is where life is being created, because we are so fearful also of the darkness. We are fearful of having conversations about the dark side. But sometimes that's what really gives birth to life. Not to condone misconduct, but just to say that is nature. Nature is a balance of those things. There's evil and there's good. But we need to, what more do we need to be speaking about is the good side of the practice. Because, you know, every time we make headlines in newspapers is when there's been muti rituals or somebody has done something. But there hasn't been a story of how a psychological bipolar patient was changed through Ukthwasa. You know, there are no stories of how somebody watata izimbiza and they were healed of an ailment and they did not have to perform a major surgical procedure. So we need to be also, we need to be balanced when we have these conversations. We need to challenge some of the difficulties we're facing with and address some of the demons in, you know, in the space. But also we need to celebrate them equally. Success stories. That's, I would love one day to wake up and there's a Star newspaper saying, Coco X and X, you know,
but treat this. But you see, people don't put their hands up. There's, you know, a patient won't come and say, this is my testimony of what happened to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whereas we'll get that with Western medicine.
Yes.
We'll get that with acupuncture.
Yes.
We'll get that with Ayurveda medicine.
Or Chinese
Ayurveda
medicine.
Yes, with all sorts. But with this, it's just this mystery around, is, does it work? Does it not work?
Who goes, who doesn't go? I did a show and they asked if I can, you know, do I have people who can tell stories? And the people were quite hesitant because I think visiting a traditional healer still lends us the dodginess. But also, as I know, we should understand our history before we can make judgments on why people don't come out. One part of the history is that, you know, whenever you consulted, it was quite a sacred thing. It's a personal thing. It's not a public thing. But then people then tend to make it secretive. And I always, you know, if you follow my work, I always like to distinguish between secrecy and sacredness. But secondly, in the 1920s, traditional healing was legislated again. So it was illegal to practice as a traditional healer. It was illegal to go see a traditional healer. So we're carrying certain legacies that even now that we're becoming more open, I'm here sitting with you having this conversation freely, but we still have to really, you know, address some of those historical, what do you call it, historical journeys that we've embedded into the practice currently. But I would like for people to hashtag me.
Yes.
Like hashtag my Sangoma rocks, you know, and not rock in a cliche way, but like, I really appreciate the work of this one. You know, people writing genuine testimonials, not the ones on the street corners where you could see like it's the same testimonial, because I was reading one actually before the show about this guy who's a master at casting spells or giving spells. It was the same words, just different people who are giving different names to the
promises,
to the paragraphs.
These lofty promises.
Yes, but it's the same. You could clearly see like this was fabricated for the person to be, you know, for somebody to say, I put up my hand, I know this person and this person is the real deal, you know? But the also biggest challenge about it is that people think, sometimes people think that with me, like as a healer, like when they come and like, I really can't help you. And like, yo, but you help so many people. We hear you all the time.
Yes.
Gogo, I follow your work. And how come you can't help me? Connection to your ancestors is key for me.
I was going to say that if you're a healer, then it doesn't just come from your own abilities.
No.
Not just
there's
that.
Huge,
or even with the problem that someone presents with, there isn't a one-size-fits-all. Mm-mm. There is this guidance that you get.
Yes. And
on
we're
what
not
to do
all
and
masters of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we also, because Emandulo, you know, there were actually, let me distinguish. Can I break down traditional healing? So we kind of, you know,
absolutely
get to the basics so people
about
understand what we're talking about.
Can we just quickly take this call from Mohale? Then we'll get into the breakdown. I don't want to leave him waiting too long.
Oh, okay.
Mohale, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Look, you know, now I'm from a family where in Kaspedi or Vijor Kidi.
Where's Allah?
It's a different, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're from a family that does what?
Yeah, correct. I'm from a family called they're traditional healers, but
okay.
You are born with the a spiritual way of interpreting people's lives.
Yes.
More than the
Now,
it just fascinates me because the last person to have done that is my grandmother, and she used to tell us stories that how she became that Zidupe, you know, to say that, and I always find it very disturbing that we don't have some medical journals that are informed by African perspective, so that we discard and isolate people like Baba Reki, Baba Fani, pamphlets on the road.
Yes.
They can get one's manhood, you know, and luck and things
yes.
that really damages the name of our traditional healers. So up to about 70 or close to 60 to 70% of our people still believe in traditional healers, but the space is occupied by this tiny 30%, which is Western medicine. So my challenge to Coco is, how far are they with writing journals that really speaks to our people?
All right. Mohale, thank you so much for your call on this. And we'll break this down, what he's described about his family. They're healers, but they haven't undergone the initiation. And the question of journals, Mohale, or investigations, the CSIR has been doing fantastic work.
Yeah, researching has been doing some work too, writing a lot of work around, you know, UKZN. Has been writing stuff. There's been a lot of master students who most of their, and that's where some of my information is coming from, because they are able to investigate and authentify some of our own rituals in a way that it does not disregard the sacredness of the practice. Yes. You know, so there is a lot that's going out there, and people are saying to me, Gogo, also write a book. If you're a ghostwriter, inbox me, because I know how
she's
to
ready
speak.
For
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm ready for it, because I think you're right. You know, when we speak about Western medicine, there are journals that can say this and this works. But like I said, if you go on the Sanbi website, there's a lot of traditional medicine that is being authentified, you know. And I think some of the books, there was a book that was written that dates back to the 1980s that I have that speaks on traditional medicine. So I think it's what I learned when I was doing talks at Vets is that traditional healing had to be legislated against, because the majority of the people in the country saw traditional healers. They entrusted their well-being to traditional healers. So as the booming of Western doctors came to be, somebody had to manage those dynamics, because nobody was going to see them. So yes, we had to say something in order to disregard it. But we know that we're in 2017 and we are reawakening as Africans to who we are and what's really serving us. And this is not to say Western medicine does not serve. It has its role. Everything, everyone has their bits in the big pie of a human being. So we were talking about, you know, trying to break it down a little
bit. Yes, let's break it down.
Yeah.
And there are also questions coming in.
Yeah.
Yes. So types, that's what you wanted to start with.
So I wanted to say people need to understand that traditional healing looks at healing the human body at a psychological, spiritual, and at a physical level. So when healing is being facilitated, we are mindful that a human being is a complex system, and we need to really make well at all those three levels, and that we're not looking at patients as just a group of patients, but we're looking at you, Azania, as an individual entity that has a spiritual ether, that when you are not well, something can be very wrong at a spiritual ether. And that is where Sangomas come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sangomas, Ungoma, who is born from music and dance, because Ingoma, right, is trained to divine and understand the spiritual ether, to a point when you come with a headache, we don't just quickly give you umpemi, so something to sniff and go away. But we look at what is creating the headache? What is that?
What are you not listening to in your life?
Exactly.
That's out of kilter. That's
exactly. What's out of tune that needs healing? And sometimes it won't even be umpemi. So kungaba something else. You know, it could be like you said, you're not listening.
Yeah,
you need to be listening.
Just speak. Just do
or you need beads.
Yes.
You know? So that's what Sangomas are trained to do. Then what Ndate Mohale called and said, you know, dingaka chipu or amakesha. The people who understand our medicines. And sometimes we have Sangomas who also understand medicines, but I know I've got people who really understand the medicine very well. Amakesha, who know where the medicine is, who know where to dug it, who would know the types of times, because there are times and seasons in which certain medicines cannot be harvested because it affects, you know, the efficiency and productivity in the human system.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got those. And then you've got ababelethisi, you know, your midwives, that special, who would know if a baby's breech, what they need to do and how they midwives, traditional midwives. And then you've got, you know, traditional surgeons as well. So there's a huge variety of there's so much diversity, even in the Sangoma world. There's different types of Sangomas. So, you know, just to give a general sense that not everybody who has a gift or a calling is meant to become a Sangoma or is meant to become a Ninyanga. And I always say a Ninyanga gift, like he said, it is in the family, and it's an apprenticeship.
Yes.
So normally somebody with interest, and you could see the child
always close
when you're working, and you know that child can be an apprentice uzothatha ikhwama zikamkhulu, because then that child will then take over, because they understand the medicine. What we used to do is that somebody will go to a Sangoma, like Sangoma is a doctor, and then a prescription would go out, and then Inyanga would then say these are the different medicines that the person does. But because of, I mean, we live in 2017, so to do that is not as easy as it used to be. So when Sangomas are trained, they're also trained to understand the medicine and how to treat basic ailments. Yes. And then from there, people's masteries also develop, because but we won't all heal the same element, and we won't all be professors of everything.
Yes.
So we can't all be trainers.
So even in that process, in that initiation process, and in practicing, your own strengths start to emerge.
And that's the responsibility of ukobela. That's why they say you're a kobela, because your ability as a kobela is to bow down to that person's ancestor.
Yes.
And really help cultivate the gift. And reshape it is there. You're not giving anyone anything. They come with it. Mm-hmm. But yours, we are polisha, you know, and you really let it shine and illuminate. But we need to create conducive spaces in our healing practices, that if somebody is showing a gift that is not familiar to us, we shouldn't suppress it.
Yes.
You know, but we do. Like, ayenziwa laikai. But akazelanga kutu genziwa laikai. They are there that ekaya are able to hone in their gift and make them work with it very well. I've got about 10 students, and they all have 10 different gifts.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I always say, do not compare, because amatlos are fine. Because if you're busy watching what this one is doing, you're not listening and honoring yourself. So you are retracting yourself. But if you could pay, if you are gifted, just looking at water and let the water speak about what's wrong with that person.
Yes.
And if it's not an easy thing to do, because it's also complex, because you also as a trainer, you've got your own ideas and you've got your own thinking. So sometimes it's about letting go of what you think you know, so that the greatness of somebody else can shine.
Absolutely. And a kobela, of course, is that person that initiates other people. So they're senior, they're knowledgeable, and they have that ability. Let's go to Tato, who has a question. Hello, Tato.
Good afternoon. Hi, how's it?
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you. I've got a question. I don't know if it's a question or a comment.
Mm.
So my daughter is 23, but when she was between the ages of 5 and 8, she'd have these dreams, and she'd tell us that I had a dream, I was chatting to so-and-so.
Mm.
But every single dream she had was her having chats with people she'd never met, because they were deceased. Old family members who passed away 50 years ago, even. But they've since stopped. I'm just out of curiosity wondering what did that mean, anything that she was dreaming about?
Yes.
You know, relatives that have passed on that she never even met, that never been discussed in front of her, but she's having these dreams.
Yes. And Fresh, that leads us into really an area that we need to understand about how you know. How do you know?
Yes.
What kind of signs present themselves for you to proceed? So thank you so much. Coco, you're getting... You are burping.
I was burping, and you know, for me, when I burp, when people speak, it's a sign of saying, "Guti lo munda bakhuluma ngaye, this person, there is a gift, because I'm connecting."
Mm-hmm.
There's a connection that's happening. You know, burping, it's a connector energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and just because the dreams have stopped doesn't mean that the gift has went away. What else is unsettling your daughter at 23? Because also, you know, she's at a peak time, because that age is when the gift starts to manifest itself.
Starts to disrupt the life.
You know, so what also is, you know, the dreams were a sign that there is a spiritual gift, and then what's being disrupted in her life. And with kids like that, it's always been some sort of struggle with them. Like, life has never been smooth from birth, either through conception, delivery of the baby, the raising of the baby, and the upbringing. Like, there's been a little bit of a struggle, and that's what we say it's indicative of somebody being gifted. But dreams are very key, because I'm gonna go your twasa and you've never even had one dream. That's you know, because that's how we actually spirit communicates with us. But what else is she, you know, is she complaining of headaches? You know, like headaches, and we think, oh no, she's studying too much. But sometimes it's not a headache of studying too much, it's a headache of be still and know, like, you need to connect, and you need to connect.
You're not listening. Right. Any more questions, Tato?
No. In fact, maybe I should raise it with her just to find out.
Yeah. Maybe there are other things that you could look at. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's very important that you're paying attention at it, because then it's not going to hit you hard. Because what I always say to people is that the earlier you know, and when you embrace it and surrender to it, it becomes a gift, but it becomes a burden if we are unconscious of it, because it tries to, spirit wakes us up in so many ways.
Yes.
So struggle, it's a birthing of the gift. But when you're conscious and you're working with it, you put in place the necessary measures so that she's not in pain and in suffering. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Togoza Gogo.
Togoza, thank you.
Thank you, Thato. And not disruption, but needing to wake up and listen.
It's
it can
a bad
present
thing.
In so many
yes,
ways.
It's a bad thing.
And it scares a lot of people.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, the other thing is that, like I said, we are working with a spiritual entity that is not tangible and does not have a language that human beings understand. So when it manifests itself in extreme headaches, when you are bombarded by dreams of things that you've never seen and things start to happen, that's quite alarming. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are trying and you are qualified and nothing comes to, you know, nothing.
It's
it doesn't
moving.
Matter.
It's
nothing.
All closed.
Or you are always, when there's a cycle with your job life, you know, every 3 years, whatever you try and do, no matter what, where you are at with your career, or relationships are not lasting. So I always say to people, this is what is indicative that you are called. You know, when you look at your life, you know, has it been smooth and all of a sudden it falls apart? Or has it been always feeling like you're climbing up a mountain, yeah, even though you end up climbing the mountain? But it feels like you have to always make a little extra effort. Mm. And things like dreams and things like headaches and those physical symptoms are what we would look to collectively and determine that you are gifted or not. But everyone can have those particular symptoms. But you know, I think I knew when I was 16 that I'm not like everybody else.
Yes.
Because here were these people talking to me that I ended up being hospitalized for 6 months while I was in matric, because I kept on saying I'm hearing voices and I'm seeing dead people, and because I was religious at the time and it was demonic
yes.
to really see the other side, because
yes.
we were defying God by doing that. So I think it's very important for families and for parents, for people to normalize spiritual experiences and not quickly demonize them,
right?
Because then it becomes a struggle for the one who's experiencing them.
Let's go to Karabo in Johannesburg. Karabo, you want to help Ghost write this book?
Yes, Azania, it's absolutely phenomenal. I tell you, Azania, because of, you know, the problem is that when we don't have a record of this rich information for our own culture, for our own South Africa, just to show our culture, this information gets to be drowned away.
Mm.
So it's very much important that we have this kind of information documented, so that even our children can know this is how it is done.
Yes.
Because now we're in a generation of Google information, so we don't know how things are done. We see things on Google and we clarify the right.
Yeah.
But if we can document such type of information, we have such information documented, and then be able to lead it to the next generation that is coming. I think
absolutely, Karabo. Thank you. So stay with this. Stay on the line. I'll get my producer Mdu to just take down your details, and maybe you can connect with Gogo Dineo.
No problem.
All right, stay there. I want to take this quick question from Jabu, so you don't stay waiting too long during the headlines. Hi, Jabu.
Good afternoon, Gogo.
Togoz, I'm cool.
So I am going to go with regards to healing and aspects of generalizing, whether they want to be registered or governed by or form part of legislation. There are two elements on the website. You have people that actually have been initiated, and with their specialities, they have to hold down the houses that are actually helping for the circumcision. With the current rules that are in place, it only appears to me that the market are paying and that actually control and condone and aspect of traditional healing or actually circumcision.
Okay,
we are not actually aligned together.
Yeah.
Another question would then be, what the said aspect of Utoasa, whereby you go to somebody else's house and you work with what you were given, what do you say about those? Could you actually work with them? If you work with them, is it still part of healing?
All right.
But as it's generally said, or what do you say about those?
All right, Jabu, thank you for the question. We'll only address that after the break and headlines. Here's Tara Penny with the latest in EWN. Okay, we're in the throes of today's masterclass, and it's all focused on traditional healing. It's made headlines for all the wrong reasons in the past 2 weeks or so. And my guest is Gogo Dineo Ndlanzi. We're really grateful to have her here. She dispenses incredible advice and knowledge that she has gathered over the years through her own experience. It's not easy come by because you have to work, you have to vote to devote time before you can get to the level where she is. Let's get to just a brief response on Jabu's question.
Yeah, I missed the first question, but I kind of had the second question.
Yeah, the line wasn't too clear.
It wasn't clear. Can you rephrase them for me?
He was talking about legislation and also talking about how there is a disconnect between certain the right traditional practices that need to take place, but they aren't communicating.
I think for me, you know, it's difficult to try legislate it in a system which does not believe in the practice, because then the legislation is not for and is not enabling of traditional healers. Rather, it's leaving us constrained and that we need to feed into a Western system and a Western ways of regulation. Because there's so much that I'm not saying we shouldn't get regulated, because I think with so many dodginess happening and bogus healers popping out at every street corner, we need some form of guardianship, you know, something that can guide and distill who is the real one and who's not the real one. But we can't do it the way we regulate medical doctors, because it's not possible. We're not medical doctors where we need to checklist things, because every consultation is unique and different. And people then ask me, like, but how did we used to regulate? I always say that if Mutu is a fully fleshed traditional healer who is qualified, and then would say what they have to say. And if you were not really competent and you wanted to go home, there was no favor, because we knew we dealt with lives. Why would we lie to save somebody else? Would say, every time we treated patients, you are away. So I brought you because you wanted to come home. That was the integrity of the practice.
And the community, sense that this is happening in full view of the community.
Exactly.
So you're kept accountable as a gobela, that you initiated this particular person in the correct way.
Exactly.
When you beat the drums, this is a call to the community to say, here, right here at this address.
Yeah, but the trend now is that people go into, you know, Sangoma, Balotwasa, they don't finish, you know, or themselves, and they leave everything behind, and they go on social media and saying, hey, I'm a fully fleshed qualified traditional healer. If somebody is a fully fleshed qualified, if they're still alive, who knows that can vouch that minangambona bamutlisa, because your shoba as a sangoma, it's very key.
Yes.
And ishoba lako, not all tenge faraday, not the one who got at the muti shop, but it has to have something yasempandeni, the institution in which you were initiated. So we do need to regulate somehow. I think we need to begin conversations, and how do we do it? I think we also need to find some coalition as a sector, because I don't think we all see things the same way and agree. Because there's also new age healers that are bathing and they're challenging a lot of things.
So what is happening then within these formalized structures that have been set up? Because they are regions. You have to have your certificate. They have to have taught you about wearing gloves when you do certain things like hopaza.
So, but I think you see, that's the thing, because wearing gloves and things is like, we need to tick the boxes of Western ways of doing things, but are we ticking the right boxes in terms of the integrity of our African spiritedness in the practice? Are we ticking boxes about how do you treat a patient with dignity, you know, because sometimes patients are not treated with dignity. We are figure la pai. In you need my, you know, like what that's for me, that's also some key things. Yes, wear gloves. We need to understand modernly what are some of the things that we are dealing with that can allow for us to make our healing better.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't lose the essences of our practice, and I think that's where we lose it sometimes as organizations, and because we don't see eye to eye, and we don't have to see eye to eye, but we need to say, how do we organize at the best interest of the communities in which we are serving? How do we organize at the best interest of the patients that we are serving, and let go of individual egos, because we're edging Amadlozi out every time we become egotistic. I mean, I'm 15 years in the sector, I'm 1886, or I've got 7 years. Yes, experience is important, but somebody who otrosis well might have such a powerful insight that can add value to your experience to enrich in it.
There's so many calls, so I'm hoping that we'll get through them efficiently, as efficiently as possible. It's not a consultation. You'll have to do that offside.
Let's
go to Ginger in El Dorado Park. Okay. Ginger, took yourself out of the process. Oba, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Aza.
Yes.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Aza, you are speaking to Oba Di Chanjo.
Yeah.
Tawaza Gogo.
Tawaza Mkun.
Gogo, I've been in and out all over the area. Yonsola, Evantwin.
Yeah.
About my life.
Yeah.
What I've picked up is that, Gogo, all these people, they are more than eight, if I'm not mistaken. They're talking one thing. That they are seeing is Kwama.
Yeah.
That's Kwama. It's like, I need to go and Tawaza.
Yeah, Mkun.
And I've got this tendency of telling people things that I see in
yes.
their life.
Yes.
And I dream water and sleep at night. And then, Gogo, I would like to know, where must I go? What must I do? Because they have even
asked. Great question, yeah, Oba. Let's keep it short so we can give other people an opportunity,
yes,
Oba, because what you're asking is a very key question about knowing where to go.
Yes.
That's a critical moment in beginning this process.
Yes. I mean, this is Gogo Dinoa's principle. And for me, it's because in some it's got cool. I don't want to mess people's processes up because, like I said, I can't help everybody, because that's why you have to be sent to that particular person, because once there's a synergy and your ancestors align with that person's ancestor, not kuthi uyamthanda ugogo Dineo, but the ancestors themselves, then that person can heal you. Mina ngathwasa 2010, and I dreamt of the woman who was supposed to
initiate. Precisely.
You know, and even the initiates that I'm initiating, they have dreamt. And amapau, meaning signs, Azania, that you have dreamt, and the things you have seen have
lead
to align
you
with the kobela that was training you. Because you cannot be dreaming of pink beads, and then she doesn't want pink beads.
Mm.
You cannot be dreaming of this cloth, and she knows nothing about that. What? There's a disconnect already there. And the second thing, if people have failed you to heal you as a client and they've tried everything, how are they going to have the ability to initiate you? Because that's a next level.
Absolutely.
You know, so those are the basics. Get your basics right. And also,
he needs to listen.
Yeah.
He also needs to be quite, pay attention to what is revealed to him.
Because it's 1 to 8 people. What more do you want?
Yeah.
Now you know you're a gifted partner and realign namatlos again. And ubatshele ukuthi, I want to go. Amanzi are important to go, partner. So yeah, here is your free consultation. Go with 2 candles, hambe with white, yellow and green. Ucele abantu basemanzini and say to them, I've accepted, I've acknowledged. Because sometimes people accept verbally, but their hearts are not open.
Mm.
So sometimes the messages are not coming through because you're still closed.
Mm.
You're still in question, not in surrendering mode. And then that's why the process doesn't flow for you.
Mm. Next, let's go to Zitande in Soweto. Hello, Zitande.
Hello, Zanon.
Togo.
This is my question. At what point because I'm trying not to be paranoid about it, but
misread what's presenting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am physically sick right now. I can feel it.
Yeah. I mean,
at what what point do you know, Guti, okay, gashamanje, it's because I'll laleli or like kamabela.
So have you been told you've got the calling?
Yes.
And I think you know that ukulisa idlozi. You just need me to confirm it, but you know it already. No, you know. You know, people know these things and they're like, no, confirm it for me. It's not going to make any difference whether I confirm, I validate you or don't validate. You need to validate yourself. You need to trust in your own process, because that's why people also get easily exploited. It's like they don't trust, because when you go to a wrong place, something in your system says no.
Tells you, yes.
But you then go because you're being threatened or whatever. I always say to abantu kuti, it's rare kuti idlozi lizokubulala. Why didn't we die first? Because we also said no. You know, why would what kind of ancestor wants to kill everyone who says no? You know, they will do whatever it takes to open you up to your moment of saying yes, but they won't really necessarily kill you. You know, it's a very rare situation where you get killed because you didn't accept the calling.
Sandra, you're in Johannesburg. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania and Tolosa Gogo.
Tolosa.
Yeah, my question is, I'm also due to go to initiation, but the problem is, my background was, I was taken out of church. I've been going to church all these years. I'm 36, and everyone at home were part. It was only me, so I cried almost the whole year. saying, why didn't they choose the other ones who Abapasayo? What did they choose me? But God actually showed me at the other side that this is a gift. This is coming from God, because there was a curse.
Sandra, I'm going to stop you there because it's very specific. This is supposed to be almost like a masterclass, a broad understanding of the practice. But I think it's important that if you want more answers, to make time for much more in-depth consultation. Okay, we will share details at the end of the conversation. Sandra,
okay.
Thank you for that. Ken, good afternoon. You're in Springs.
Yes.
Hi, Ken.
I know this might sound like a strange question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm white, South African. My wife is also white.
Mm.
But she will wake up in the morning and say, somebody's going to die.
Mm.
Or she'll
have some sort of premonition, yeah.
Yeah, and she went and did a Reiki course, and she's very good at it, but there seems to be a reluctance to practice, if that makes any kind of sense.
Okay.
Is it possible for a white lady to be a Sangoma? She's not a young lady anymore.
As you just heard, your goggle just burped again, Ken. We'll get her to respond to that in a short while. Next, let's go to Kevin in Midrand. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Zanya.
Hello.
I just had a comment on regulating it, and I heard the comment more being around Sangomas and black traditional healers.
Mm.
But how would we address that situation when we need to bring in other traditional healers,
okay,
like the Indian traditional healers, right, and Christians, as in pastors who perform miracles up on stage? And I think it's going to be very difficult to try and regulate something like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And then before we take the break, let's go to... Nelly's no longer with us, but we'll get to respond to these questions a little bit later. Let's first go to the break. I'm clicking on so many different things. We'll be back to conclude this masterclass. Oh, if only the off-air conversation could be on air.
Yeah,
I always say that. Let's start with Ken's question. And there was also another one from John Warren, slightly different. Let's address Ken's question. What could be going on there? Because he was saying that his wife has these dreams, she's gone for Reiki, but she's probably still reluctant and fearful.
Yeah, I mean, masikhuluma ngamadlozi, you know, ancestors are those who have walked this planet, who have now departed in the physical sense, but their spirit is still carrying on. Maldomo Soma says ancestors have all the necessary wisdom, but not the body to be able to act out on it. And hence they go and find a body to act it out. So that's an ancestor. And in African spirituality, we believe that abantu bayalala, abafi, because the spirit still lives on. It goes and reconnects with its own people, including the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So umuntu bayihlozi kanjalo ke, you know, so that's who they are. So when utumuntu is, and they don't have a body, so they choose the willing, you know, they would then choose the willing. And the body, at soul level, there's no gender, there's no race, there's no all those human boxes that we live by. They are relevant because they help us navigate ourselves in this world, but they can also be limiting, and people can be afraid to tap into things that they think it's not their territory.
Mm-hmm.
But we also should be very mindful, because we know we come from a history where a lot of us was taken away.
Yes,
you know, we can't deny that. It's not a myth. It's a fact that, you know, there was an issue of colonization where a lot of identity and things were stripped away from us. So people become quite skeptical when it comes to white sangomas. Like, are you in it for the real deal, or you just want to sell a book, or
just
whatever?
Just the fetishization of the practice.
Mm. And I know there are some really genuine people who are really taking the act and practicing. And just because they're writing about it, we can't say to them, oh, why are you writing about our stuff? We need to be writing about it too.
So where does one start? Like Ken's wife, for instance.
Yeah, you start by saying, if you feel comfortable, go see a psychic. I've had people being referred to me by psychics, you know, and I can refer them to a couple of people who I know, someone who's familiar with you, because probably she's clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
So a clairvoyant is somebody who there's a lot of clairs, there's clairvoyancy, clear hearing. So we all are gifted with those things. So there's someone who have the ability to see things before they happen.
Yes.
So if she's comfortable with going seeing a psychic, and if you go to a trusted one, they'll tell you that this is your ancestor's issue, then go see a Sangoma. But if she wants to see a Sangoma, she can also do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And another one says, oh, it's a great compliment to you. It says, oh, Azania, Yeah, Gogo Wami. You have Ugogo Wami in studio. That woman has saved my life. She is so young and yet so powerful. It's an unsigned one. And Kabelo says, who are the ancestors? Are they just people who passed away? What if they were criminal and cruel in life now become honored as Madlozi post-life? And John Warren says, can a white person see a Sangoma? You said this, yes. You've just answered. And he says, I would like to hear from the ancestors of if any of my own owned slaves or committed similar atrocities, and if so, what could be done to make things right? So he has this as a bigger question. But speak to me about this being as a means of healing. Healing what some have said, healing the bloodline, healing certain things that might be going on in your life.
So when people have the spirit of Nzao, it's because they need to heal the bloodline. Something was a discourse between different types of ancestry, because Umdao is an ancestor that comes out of this place and then has, you know, then, and Gakula want to have Umguni Nomdao, because the Nguni warriors went conquering in the attempt of unifying Africans. Remember, the whole intention, Gashaga as well, was to have one Zulu nation, not AmaZulu tribe, but one children of the heavens. So then they went killing people in South, you know, Southeast Africa, in many parts of Africa, even as further as North West Africa, because I've met some people from Nigeria who know Zulu words. So that's how deep it went. So then when you do initiation, sometimes you initiate not to practice, but to heal the bloodline.
Exactly.
Some people initiate to heal the bloodline. And once the bloodline, it's healed, it means there is flow, because life is flowing.
Peace.
Blood is flowing. So not all of us are initiating to practice. And people are saying, why is there an up boom of traditional healers? Like everyone left, right and corner, we are Twasa. We are making well what has not been made well for history,
a lot of
for
catching
centuries.
Up to do.
Yes, you know, it's just that what we need to make well might be different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's take this quick one from Akona. Good afternoon, Akona. Hey, Akona?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we have you. Very limited time. What's your question?
Okay, I mean, I just wanted to find out. I've been actually, Nami told a good thing, Kwasani. Because I'm in a Christian family, I've actually been got called Leila. Up until I've been just getting funny messages from on Instagram, actually, from shamans. Okay, I need to check okay, where my originality, where am I from, and everything.
All right. So even that message coming via other people.
No, and I find that a lot with a lot of Christians, black South Africans, that they would feel comfortable going to a psychic, but not a Sangoma.
That's so true.
You know, it's such an
tarot
irony.
Card and readers.
Also we're contradicting ourselves, because when you look at the Bible, everyone is dead in the Bible. And the whole concept of resurrection is a concept of Africa, because we say when umzimbu yalala but umoya yaqhubeka, so the spirit lives on, and that's the whole concept of resurrection. The body dies, but the spirit lives on, and therefore everyone's wish is to become an ancestor of light that can facilitate creation while they're on the other side. So umalume wetsotsi, sometimes they redeem the minute their life is, you know, when barbatu ubatlo ubona, because they want to make peace, so they become a great ancestor. But to protect yourself from those things is when upahla, when you call upon them, always invite light ancestors. Abatli sangni said it, that but bring light, you know, that bring wellness and help. Yes, you know, but sometimes we, as the living, might need to help them make well what's not well on the other side.
Which some people find to be burdensome.
Yes.
And it's just one of the deterrents. I have a friend, in fact, who said it's just too much. They're asking for way too much. Gogo, how do we get a hold of you as we're getting inquiries? And we will podcast this conversation.
Yes, so people can get hold of me, gogodinowandlanzi@gmail.com. But I'm on Twitter, Mama Sbusiso, yes, my first baby, Nyankwabewam.
Yes.
And there's also on Instagram is @Gokgeji. On Facebook, there's a page called the Gogodinowandlanzi Institute of Spiritual Healing. And that's where I post a lot of these conversations as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And on Facebook, inbox me and then you'll get my details.
Yes, if you want a private consultation.
Please, private consultation, not dream. And long stories.
Yeah.
When we are Sangomas, you don't need to tell me what's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong when you come. You know, so don't give me history first, because a lot of people are skeptics. So when you come and we can tell you what's going on before you've
Without
been told
you
us, already opens a belief in you about what's possible when it comes to these kind of things.
Togoza,
thank you so much. It was an honor.
Thank you. That was Gogo Dineo Ndlanzi.